will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Hi, I'm Rob West. Those were Christ's words to the apostles after his resurrection. The fulfillment of that promise began a few days later on Pentecost and continues in believers to this day. We'll explain what that has to do with your finances. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Christmas and Easter are Christianity's most visible holy days, so much so that our secular society has turned them into commercial events. Well, I haven't seen any Pentecost greeting cards recently, but for Christians, Pentecost is one of the most significant days in the church calendar. Two words can help us explain the importance of Pentecost for believers: power and proclamation. Today we're going to explain how the power and proclamation of Pentecost can touch every financial decision you make. First, Pentecost is about power. After the resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days teaching his followers how to live in the kingdom of God. Then, just before he returned to heaven, Acts 1, 4-8 tells us that Christ promised the apostles they would soon be filled with God's Holy Spirit. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus promised believers that the Holy Spirit would fill them, not just for a moment, but always, providing them with the power to live and serve God and others in His kingdom on earth. This power would transform their hearts and lives. Now, the second key to Pentecost is proclamation. The power of the Holy Spirit enables believers to proclaim the good news of salvation and new life in Jesus. Pentecost is the Greek name for the Jewish Feast of Harvest, and it occurs 50 days after Passover. The Bible tells us that 50 days after the resurrection, Jews from all over the Roman world, including Christ's followers, gathered in Jerusalem for this celebration. Here's what it says in Acts 2. "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." This miraculous event soon drew a large crowd, and each one heard about Jesus, the risen King, in his own language. Peter stood up to tell them about repentance and the gospel of Christ, and by the end of the day, 3,000 people believed. The church was born in power that day, and that's why we celebrate Pentecost. So what does all of this have to do with how you handle your money? Well, first of all, God made His church with a purpose, to proclaim Jesus everywhere and represent God's character to the world. The church is called the body of Christ, and as a member of the body, you are responsible for your Christian witness. You are not your own, it says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. You see, everything you do has spiritual significance, including your financial choices. Your godly character will show in your business decisions, spending choices, work ethic, and generosity toward others. Also, when you have a Pentecost perspective about your finances, your priorities change from focusing on yourself to serving others. Ezekiel prophesied the words of God in chapter 36, verse 26, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." As a believer, this is the power of God's Holy Spirit in you, a new spirit, new motivations, new thoughts, and a new love for others. Are you plugging into that source for wisdom and peace in your financial decisions, or are you trying to manage everything in your own strength? Let me make one more observation about the power of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is at work in His church here in the U.S. He has blessed us with resources beyond what most nations can imagine. I believe that we have the means and the responsibility to send the gospel to the whole world. That's part of the equation, and there's no time like the present. As we approach Pentecost Sunday this year, remember its power and proclamation. Christ did not leave you to deal with life alone, but he sent his Holy Spirit to help you. In him, believers have power to live godly lives, serving the Lord and those around us. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. To grow in your prayer life, look no further than the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught us how to pray using this simple but powerful prayer. After beginning by emphasizing the holiness of God's name, Jesus then prays about God's kingdom. Matthew 6, verse 10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." This petition is so important. When we pray for God's kingdom to come, we're asking that the kingdom of darkness would be expelled and destroyed, that the gospel would spread. So next time you come before the Lord in prayer, take some time. Pray for the churches near you and around the world. Pray, "Your kingdom come." Grow in your daily walk with Christ with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the Giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are Giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Well, I hope you're having a great Friday. I know I am. We're ready to take your calls and questions today as we turn the corner to anything financial. The number to call with lines open, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. And our goal on this program each day is to be an encouragement to you, to be hopeful, to take you back into God's Word, to understand His heart for you and your role as a steward of His money, to help you make actual decisions in light of biblical truth. Financial decision making is a key skill, and we draw from principles. We apply those to the daily decisions we're making, and we do that together each day on this program. So whatever you're thinking about in your financial life today, give us a call. The number with lines open, again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. That's 800-525-7000. We'll dive into those questions in just a moment, so call right now. Some new data out today on credit cards. It shows that about a third of all credit card holders were delinquent in payments in 2023. This is according to the New York Federal Reserve. Nearly one out of five cardholders maxed out their cards in the first quarter of this year. That's defined as using 90% or more of your available credit, which, by the way, when you get above 30% of available credit, you're going to begin to drop your credit score as a result. That has to do with your credit utilization. We always want to keep individual cards under 30%, even if you're paying it off at the end of the month. Keep in mind, if you pay based on your due date, that's at the end, that's after the cycle has ended. So remember, the balance on the card at the end of the cycle is what's being reported to the bureau. And so if you're letting the cycle end and then you're paying by the due date, even if you're paying it in full, it's going to be reported to the bureau with the balance as of the end of the cycle, even though you're paying on time and you're paying it off and you're not paying any interest. Well, if just through the normal course of your charges over a month's time, even if you're paying it off, your balance is rising above 30% of your limit, well, that balance being reported to the bureau is actually going to start to pull that credit score down. So just be aware of that. How would you get around that if that was an issue? Well, you would actually pay early. So you would pay in such a way that that payment would be posted prior to the end of the cycle. And therefore, that balance could be reported to the bureau at or near zero. And that would absolutely bring that credit utilization down to almost nothing, which would boost your score. So just something to keep in mind there. But nevertheless, what we're seeing is in this data, 1 out of 5 cardholders maxed out their cards. That is, they weren't using 30% of their credit utilization. They were using 90% or more. 1 out of 5 in the first quarter of 2024. Total household debt rose to $184 billion in the first quarter alone. That's up just over 1% to $17.7 trillion. Now, many analysts are saying that inflation is a major cause for the spike in personal debt. So if you're relying on credit to meet your monthly expenses, let me just tell you, that's not sustainable. Eventually, you'll run out of available credit. Then you'll have the uphill battle of paying off that debt. Keep in mind, there is a concerted effort on the part of the credit card industry because they're in business to make a profit. You could argue whether or not they're doing it properly, but nevertheless, that is their objective, is to return, is the return to their shareholders. And we call it debt mountain. Essentially, they start with a lower limit, get you in, help you to feel like you're worthy, you deserve credit, you're getting that, you know, envelope in the mail. They're starting younger and younger. My oldest is a freshman in college. I mean, he gets a credit card solicitation almost daily. And the language around that solicitation is, congratulations, you did it, you earned it, you're a good student, you deserve credit. It's the way we pay for things. And so they get you in and get you charging. They know they're not going to make a whole lot other than the merchant rebate in those first few years. And they're going to let your credit card limit as you pay off that balance continue to rise, hoping you'll charge more and more. And then once you start to carry a balance, well, now they're making more because they're getting the merchant rebate, plus they're getting the interest. They're going to keep raising that limit until eventually you are late because you didn't have the money, you missed the payment. Now all of a sudden they're earning late fees. At that point, they have the ability to drop the limit if they want. That could impose over limit fees. Well, now they're really making money. So it's just kind of a game that happens over time. We don't want to play that game. We want to only use credit to the extent we're using it for budgeted items. We're paying off that debt in full at the end of the month and living according to biblical principles. Now, if you haven't downloaded the new FaithFi app, FaithFi 4.0, do it today. We just came out with the brand new edition this week. It will help you set up a budget that allows you to live on less than you make so that you can avoid debt and put something in the bank for emergencies. You absolutely won't regret it. Julie and I use it daily in our personal finances. I was just in it last night looking at our vacation envelope because we've got a trip we're thinking about taking in the fall with the kids during fall break. And so we were just checking that vacation envelope. What do we have in there today? What will we have in there in the fall? And how can we make sure we're paying for that vacation with cash? Well, that's only because we had the FaithFi app that we could see exactly what was in our vacation envelope. The new features in the app are incredible. It's a brand new kind of fresh look and feel using a really simple, easy to use format. We introduced dark mode. We introduced some new reporting features. We introduced an income-based plan feature where instead of just allocating based on expected income to your envelopes on a certain day and time and funding those envelopes in the app, you can actually tie it to a specific paycheck. So when I receive this paycheck on this day, then I want you to fund these envelopes in these amounts or percentages. And it really will help you put a plan in place that not only balances, but that you can maintain. And the budget that's going to work best for you is the budget that you'll stick to and that can actually allow you to make some decisions along the way. It's not a matter of getting to the end of the month and looking back and say, yep, I messed up there. And oh, yep, we went over that in that category again. No, we need the information in real time so we can make changes. You can't do that unless you have a system. Are there other systems? Absolutely. We just happen to think the FaithFi app is the best one. So if you want to check it out today, just head to your App Store, Apple or Google Play, search for FaithFi, or if you'd rather just go to our website, faithfi.com, click on the app button, and you can learn all about it. There's a new blog post there at faithfi.com about all the new features in FaithFi 4.0, but we'd love for you to check it out today. All right, as I mentioned before, we are going to begin to take your calls here in just a moment. So if you've got a question, anything financial today, reining in your spending, investing for the future, how to handle retirement and Social Security, paying down debt, the best way to do that, giving wisely, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. You can call right now and we'll begin to take those questions just around the corner. Again, 800-525-7000. Let me just mention quickly here before the first break, if you are in a situation where you have credit card debt, my preferred method for you getting out of debt once and for all is not debt consolidation where you take out a new loan. It's not debt settlement where you stop paying the cards and hope somebody can negotiate a lower payoff. It's debt management. And that just simply means you leave the debt right where it is. We pay it off through a credit counseling agency. Our preferred nonprofit of choice is ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They'll get those interest rates down for you. You'll pay one level monthly payment to them. They'll send it on to your creditors, and the combination of the level payment plus the lower interest rates is going to get you out of debt 80% faster and hopefully with a plan that you can sustain well beyond it. Back with more after this. Stick around.
It's hard for us to imagine waking up to the sound of sirens warning of missiles headed our way, grabbing our children and running into shelters with 100 or more other people who are just as scared as us. That's what's happening in Israel right now. Please join us in praying for the peace and safety of Israel and her people, and that the threat to their lives, to their very existence, would be quickly removed. Join other believers by signing the I Pray for Israel pledge at afa.net.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Interested in seminary but don't think it will work in this season in life? Wesley Biblical Seminary offers flexible options that allow you to take classes live, no matter where you are. At WBS, we don't just educate people, we develop trusted leaders for faithful churches. It's time for you to respond to the calling God has on your life. Take classes from an institution that you can trust for a calling that will not go away. Learn more about your opportunities at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. I've got one line open. We'd love to hear from you today, 800-525-7000. Let's dive in. We're going to begin today in Texas. Hi, Alex. How can I help you?
Hey, I had just a quick... Hey, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Go right ahead, sir.
So my question for you is, me and my wife are looking to try and make a budget. We are not able to use Mint, which is an app that we used for years.
Yeah.
And we are considering using the envelope system, where we can just do everything cash so that we can track it real time and that we don't have to worry about going overspending. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that compared to other budgeting methods that you've used, like using a sheet or maybe using an app or something like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot, Alex. I prefer the envelope system. You know, here's the thing. You've got to find the system that works for you. And the system that's the one that you will continue to use into the future is going to be the best option. Now, typically with husband and wife, one tends to be more hands-on, one more hands-off. One might be the more detailed administrative type, the other not so much. And so the key is to find a system that works for you. One of the things we did when we built the FaithFi app is we recognize that people have different approaches. So there's actually three money management systems in one. You choose the one that best fits your personality. So we've got the track only option, where you actually just look at, similar to Mint, where you're just seeing all the transactions come in, you securely connect all your bank and checking and savings accounts, and then as those transactions come in, they're categorized just so you can see, hey, how are we doing in this category or that category? It's the most hands-off approach, where you're just kind of watching it. Then the middle of the road is plan and track, where you set a budget and then you track against it. That'd probably be, again, like Mint, where you're seeing, based on the plan, here's what I'd like to spend, how did I do, and you're just kind of comparing the two. The most hands-on approach is the third option, and that's what I use, again, inside the FaithFi app, and it's our envelope system, where you actually go in and through the onboarding process, you'll create all your digital envelopes, you'll create a plan, which you can update month to month, because some months might have a different plan than another. You know, you're going to have a bigger expense here, or you're going to get a little extra income or a bonus. You create the plan, and unless you tell it to, it'll just automatically roll over to the next month. And then as your transactions come in, the system learns what transactions go into what envelopes, and you can override that. And then at any point in the month, you can say, okay, what's left in this envelope? What's left in that envelope? You can carry balances over month to month, like with my vacation envelope. I'm building it up over time, and then I'm using it all at once. You can even transfer between envelopes. If you went over in one and you're a little under in another, you could, you know, transfer from one to another. So it's the system that I like the best. Larry Burkett popularized that in the 70s and 80s with physical envelopes. This is just kind of a modern, beautiful expression of that on your smartphone. So I'd love for you to check it out. And if you'd like, Alex, I'd be happy to have one of our certified Christian financial counselors help you and your wife get it set up, help you understand the best way to use it based on your personalities, if that would be of interest to you.
Yeah, it definitely would, and it's kind of crazy. I've been praying since I lost that Mint app. Lord, what am I supposed to do with my budgeting? How am I supposed to manage my finances now that our system that we have is just messed up? So I definitely think that this call is definitely an answer to prayer. So God bless you guys, and thank you so much. I would be very, very interested in talking to somebody.
Awesome. So let's do this. You can go ahead and download it today if you want to get started. You'll just go to your app store, search for FaithFi, FaithFi, and you can get it downloaded. We just came out with FaithFi 4.0 this week. You'll love it. It has a lot of new features. And then if you stay on the line, our team will get your information and we'll get one of our certified Christian financial counselors in touch with you, somebody who specializes in the app and can answer any questions you have. Okay?
Sounds Sounds great. Thank you so much, sir.
Absolutely, Alex. Stay on the line. Let's go to Oregon. Hi, Lynn. How can I help?
Good morning. I have a 403B with, among other things, in their CD. I'm buying a piece of land, and I need to take about $55,000 out of that Roth account. It's a Roth account. I have to take $55,000 out of it to pay for that piece of land. The money that I would like to take that's not already in stocks would be a CD that matures, but not until June. I do have some cash in there. Can I take, I think they call it a IRA rollover. Can I temporarily take $55,000 out of there until the CD matures and then pay it back?
Yeah, probably not. But let me just clarify a couple of things. So did you say this money is currently in a 403B or is it currently in an IRA because you rolled it from a 403B to your IRA?
It is a Roth account. It wasn't a 403B. I misspoke.
Okay, so it was a Roth IRA?
It's just a Roth account that I've been putting into over the years.
Okay, all right. And so you can't borrow from an IRA, traditional or Roth. The only thing you could do would be to take a distribution, and you'd have 60 days to get it back in there. And so if you, after 60 days, it's going to be considered a distribution. And in the event of a traditional IRA, it would be taxable to you. Are you over 59 and a half, Lynn?
Yes.
You are. Okay. So you would actually be able to pull that money. Has that Roth, that's been open more than 5 years, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you could take the money out of the Roth and you would not have to pay tax on it because it's been open 5 years, you're over 59 and a half, so that money is available to you, but you couldn't borrow it and put it back in unless you did it within 60 days. It would actually be a permanent distribution, so that money's not going back in there when those CDs come due. So you might be better off looking at breaking the CDs and finding out what the penalty will be, because it may not be bad, and that way you can leave the money in the Roth and let it continue to grow. Let's do this. You and I can talk a bit off the air in case you have any follow-up questions. I've got to hit a break. Back with more on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. More of your questions just around the corner. Stick around. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. One. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
Coming up this weekend on The Stand Radio, a summer discipleship program for boys called Men of Honor.
Our lives are short, and we have an opportunity to disciple and influence young men in a godly way, just as Jesus did with his 12 disciples.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, coming up in the next segment, Jerry Boyer stops by. We always look forward to having Jerry with us. He's our resident economist, and he weighs in on the markets and corporate engagement and whatever else happens to be going on at that moment. We'll look forward to talking to Jerry here in just a few minutes. But first, we're taking your phone calls today on anything financial. The number to call, I've got two lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Georgia. Hi, David. How can I help you, sir?
Good morning, and thank you for Faith and Finance. I have a Social Security question.
All right, let's do it.
We know that retiring before our full retirement age results in an 8% reduction for each year.
That's right.
How does Social Security cost of living increases offset this 8% reduction? Thank you.
It's a great question, David, and they don't correlate with one another. So if you take it early, you're going to permanently lock in a reduced benefit. And you, as you mentioned, it's roughly 8% a year for every year you take it early. You're going to reduce it by that amount. The opposite is true. When you take it beyond full retirement age, you're going to see roughly an 8% increase of that check. But whenever you take it, you're going to lock in your benefit amount. Whether you take it early, on time, or late. Now, the cost of living adjustment doesn't affect that. You're going to get the cost of living based on your primary insurance amount regardless. And so if it's 3.2%, that's how much your benefit is going to increase. It's not that you get less of a cost of living adjustment because you took it early. You get the cost of living adjustment on whatever your insurance benefit is, and that's locked in based on the timing of when you take it. Does that make sense?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call today, sir. Call anytime. 800-525-7000 to Illinois. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi. My question is, I'm going through a divorce. Hopefully it will be done in the next few months. But I have one loan for my car. It's like just under $20,000. And I do have some investments. And I wonder if it would be a good idea for me to pay off my car through taking some money out of my IRAs to get that debt, that, you know, that credit down.
Yeah, it certainly could, Chris. So let's talk about this for a moment. So what is your age, if you don't mind me asking?
70.
Okay, so you're 70 years old, and you've got about $400,000 in your IRA. Are you living off of that? Is that part of your monthly income?
No, it's not at this point.
Okay, so you're just letting that continue to grow. And what is that invested in?
It's invested in, I'm not sure of the accounts.
Okay. Stocks and bonds or CDs or cash, or what do you think?
Stocks and bonds. It's okay. In stocks and bonds. One of the accounts, you can take money out of it without, you can take so much out of it without having to pay interest.
Okay.
If you need extra cash or something.
Sure. But it is inside an IRA, so it is going to be taxable to you when you take it out. So you just need to be aware of that. We'll have to factor that in, because any money that's, as long as it, unless it's a Roth IRA, then it would not be taxable. But if it's a traditional IRA, then as you pull it out, it's going to be treated like income from a federal and state tax perspective. Okay, so you're not touching that. So what are you living on? Just Social Security?
Just Social Security, and then I have a small maintenance that comes in every month.
Okay, very good.
I don't know what I'll have after the divorce. I don't know how things are going to work out at all.
Okay. Are you collecting Social Security based on your own work record, or are you taking a spousal benefit? Do you know?
My own.
So that won't change. So we know we'll have at least that. Now, do you believe that this $400,000 IRA is going to be split between you and your soon-to-be ex-husband, or is that going to stay with you?
I'm pretty sure it's going to stay with me, because we both have the same amount in our IRAs.
Okay.
So
all
that.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, and that will probably just stay as is.
And do you believe that both of the car loans are going to be your responsibility, as well as the furniture loan?
I have one car.
Okay. Oh, I see. So you have two debts, a car loan and a furniture loan. Those are the two.
A car loan and a furniture loan.
Okay. And you're at $19,000 on those. Do you happen to know what the interest rate is on either of those?
I think the car was like 2.5 or something.
Okay. All right.
It's been a little over, or almost 2 years since I've had the car.
Okay. Very good. And then what is your primary?
And the furniture loan is.
Go ahead.
The furniture loan is one that you pay off in, you know, no interest for 15 months or 18 months or something. That's what the furniture is.
All right. And what portion of the 19 is the furniture loan?
The 19 is all the car loan.
Okay. Furniture's on top of that.
All
right. And then what's your primary motivation to get these paid off? Is it just kind of simplify things and be out of debt, or is there some other reason driving your desire to get these paid off?
Just to get out of debt.
Okay. All right.
And have that extra money to, in case I need it for, you know, car, medical, or anything like that.
And then I realize things may change after the divorce decree, but let's just, all things being equal, if you continued to pay on these debts just on the regularly scheduled payments to pay them off, do you have anything left over at the end of the month, assuming you don't touch the IRA, or are you kind of right up to the edge?
No, I do have, I've set my budget to where everything that I have to pay off for the month, I've budgeted, and it's a separate account. So everything that I budgeted comes out of there, and I do have money in there because I don't want to run short. So I do put, you know, all the budgeted money is in one account.
Okay. So you, and just based on you living off of your Social Security alone, you can pay all your bills, and then you usually have something left over at the end of the month?
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Okay.
And
so
that takes care of my,
go ahead.
You know, I haven't put my medical in there. My medical bills or my car, like gas, but I did put gas in there, but like oil changes and stuff, that's all in my personal spendable account.
Okay. All right. Well, here's my thought. I mean, certainly if you want to take it out and pay it off, you certainly can do that. And if that just gives you more peace of mind, then go for it. I don't have a problem with that. I guess, you know, I think I'd probably, you know, try to pay off the small furniture loan just out of your cash flow, because it sounds like you have a little extra and you don't need to create that taxable event by pulling it out of the IRA. You already could, but given that you've got plenty of savings and you've got a surplus every month, I'd probably just try to pay off the furniture loan first, because that car debt interest rate is so low. Just out of your current cash flow, out of your surplus every month. Now, if you got to the end where the interest rate was going to jump up because you're at the end of the 18-month promotional period or whatever it is, and you don't have the ability just to write the check out of savings, or that would deplete your savings account, then you could pull it from the IRA. But I don't know that I would rush to pull that money out of the IRA. I might just let that continue to grow. And because the car debt interest rate is so low, and because you're living so modestly and you've got a surplus, us, I'd probably just try to fund those out of your current cash flow, so long as you get the car, you know, the furniture loan done by the time the interest rate jumps. That's just my perspective. Now, if you just feel a conviction to be out of debt, well, then go for it, and I wouldn't have a problem with that. Hang on the line. Let's talk a bit more off the air. We'll be right back.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
Let me tell you one thing, though. The rapture does not demand a revelation of revival before it happens, but after it happens, the greatest revival in the history of the world is going to take place on planet Earth. Did you know that?
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for Salvation in the Tribulation on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
When you hear the phrase, rich toward God, what comes to mind? Surely it doesn't mean making God rich. Is it about us becoming rich so we can give? Or maybe it's an invitation to something much bigger. In the new Rich Toward God study, FaithFi has created a way for you to explore and reflect on a well-known biblical parable about a very rich man with a very big problem. Request a copy of the Rich Toward God study today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions today. But first, here in our final segment today, we always look forward to on Fridays to talking to our good friend Jerry Boyer. Jerry is president of Boyer Research. He's a columnist in World News Group. He also joins us each Friday as our resident economist here. And boy, Jerry, a lot to cover today. First, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Let me ask, do you own any GameStop shares?
No. No, I don't.
All right. Just making sure.
Some family members do, but they were gifted to them. All our family works for Boyer Research, so they're financial pros. So they wouldn't have gone out and bought them, but somebody said, this is going to be here. Take this. This will make your future. Yeah. It hasn't worked out so well, but they didn't stake their future on it.
Stocks. Something we would have never said a few years ago, and yet here we are, right? It's a wild world we live in.
Yeah, and it's weird because, we wouldn't have said it before because, you know, they have a business model that's obsolete. So why are they so hot? Because of nostalgia, right? It's like a contrary thinking. They were counted out, but, it was a part of my youth. So they go buy, you know, they go buy these out of nostalgia and out of some desire to hurt short sellers. So some kind of populist anger. Yeah. That's no way to invest, in my opinion.
It's exactly
protest
right.
Investing. It's anger investing. It's emotional investing.
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of people hurt in the process. All right, we've got a lot to cover today. You've been really busy writing and engaging and researching, so let's try to cover the waterfront here. Let's start with corporate engagement today. I know there's been we're in earnings season, so there's a lot going on, and you've been working with some of the biggest brand names in the world. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, and this was a big week for American Family Association. Walker gave the speech to Home Depot's board of directors, CEO, and other shareholders, talking about their discriminatory attitude towards Christians, especially, you know, the treatment of Christian employees who, according to some of their training materials, are guilty of religious privilege because they get December 25th off. which is weird because I think Muslims get December 25th. I mean, the store's closed, right? So they don't say, hey, you Christians, here, you get a privilege. You go home. Muslims, Jews, Hindus, you stay here. I mean,
right.
That's not how it works. And December 25th is a national holiday, and why shouldn't it be? 70% of the population is a Christian. He really, challenged them. Strongly, he talked about their, unconscious bias training, and he said, does it have unconscious bias? The other point he made, which I think was a very strong one, which is they said that they make their people sit through unconscious bias training, so that they can check their privilege. And he's saying, well, if they have to sit through some kind of session where they're castigated for their cisgender privilege or their religious privilege, precisely how privileged are they? They don't seem to be the people in power if they're forced to sit through this kind of re-education, camp kind of environment. So that doesn't really sound like privilege very much. So I think Walker really, he wasn't strident, but he just went after the fundamental issues, called upon them to offer the same ability to gather together in employee resource groups for Christians as he can be for various ethnicities and LGBTQ. I mean, it's fine that there's a gay affinity group. It's fine that they've got ethnic affinity groups, Hispanic and Black and Asian Pacific Islanders. That's fine. But there's a lot more Christians than there are Asian Pacific Islanders. Why can't they have an affinity group as well? Which is what Walker asked. And I think we're all still waiting for an answer to that question.
Wow. Well, you and Walker have been busy, and I know he's been making the rounds to a lot of these meetings, and we'll pray that it's making a difference. I know you've said more and more Christians are showing up, and that's certainly a good thing. All right, let's move on. I know you. There was a Wall Street Journal editorial about a study that was released by the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. You co-authored that study. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the study looks at how large asset managers have been voting. It doesn't deal with social issues. That's not Committee to Unleash Prosperity's, their focus. So you have to go other places to get that information. It's largely focused on anti-fossil fuel votes and to some degree kind of racially divisive DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, like the kind of stuff that Walker was talking about this week. That's kind of where the focus is. And there's some big takeaways. I think the main takeaway is that these asset managers are moving away from ESG. And to me, that's like a miracle because 3 years ago or 4 years ago when I, Boyer Research and some colleagues said, you know what, this is a problem and we need to challenge it. We were treated as though we were absolutely crazy. ESG is the future of investing. It is absolutely the hottest thing going on out there. And you're crazy to oppose it. It is unbeatable. And it is retreating rapidly. So asset managers, on average, improved a grade each. And that means they were voting less ESG. They were voting less against fossil fuels and less for these kind of diversity, equity, inclusion proposals, which really are designed not for sort of racial reconciliation, which is the biblical model, but for racial division. So I think that's the big takeaway. Now, Chris, you can go and look at your asset manager, go look at your 401k and see who's managing your money. You can go look and see what grade they get. I would just offer this caveat that if you're primarily concerned about social issues, that grade's not going to mean a lot to you because that study doesn't deal with the social issues.
Now, Jerry, just quickly as a follow-on to that, I mean, I know you've been talking for a long time about something called principled reasoning, and, we need to look at governance. I mean, there are real issues related to governance that are important. And we should be as believers about creation care. And, that might be the E of environmental. And yet it seems like that this term has been hijacked for something that's very political, even though those are good things. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it depends which things. Pollution is a problem. Christians should be wanting to reduce pollution. I don't think carbon dioxide is a pollutant. I'm exhaling it right now. The whole animal kingdom
Sure.
exhales carbon dioxide, and the plant kingdom inhales it. Now, we can have an argument about whether there's too much. Historically, it's actually rather low compared to long periods of history. It's up slightly over the past 100 years. But I just do not buy into the thesis that, you know, that it's proven that carbon dioxide is in fact a pollutant and that it's doing harm. Yeah. The amount that's emitted by industry is minusculely small compared to the amount that's produced by animals, you know, that's already automatically in the air. And the other thing is, even if you believe all that, I have no idea why it would be helpful to force American companies not to use fossil fuels, which just moves energy production to India and China and the third world, where not only are they emitting carbon, they're emitting a lot of sulfur dioxide and actual pollutants along with it. Yeah. So I know people might disagree, and that's fine. They're welcome to disagree, and I'm happy to debate it. But even if you buy the whole global warming thesis, yeah, about which I am very skeptical, I still think that you should not be voting for proposals that push American companies to decarbonize, because you're not decreasing the amount of carbon in the atmosphere. The other, Saudis will buy up those assets, which is what happens. You force an American bank to decarbonize, they sell it to a Saudi private equity firm. And guess what? They still burn the oil. They still burn the gas. That oil gas is going to be burned by somebody. I don't see why we would hobble ourselves economically.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. Jerry, let's move on. You had a piece in World Magazine about the decline in work ethic. I'd love for you to comment on that briefly.
Yeah, well, you know, we're seeing, you know, kind of low economic productivity and low economic growth in the United States. And, you know, there are policy reasons for that. But even apart from policy reasons, we just have, there are fewer people who are of working age than are working than historically by far. So people enter the workforce later. They take part-time jobs often when full-time jobs are available. And before everybody pulls out their cranky old man stick, which I could do as a 61-year-old, you know, fairly cranky old man, say, these young people today, just to be clear, there were a whole lot of early retirements during COVID, and a whole lot of people in my age cohort retired early and have not come back into the workforce. So this is all the generations. Really, the only group that's come back, men have not come back into the workforce. Largely, it's been women who've come back into the workforce. So I guess the women don't have as big a work ethic problem as the men, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe I started a fight with that one. But the data is the data.
Sure.
That's a problem. And that's not an economic problem first. That's a moral problem, because God says 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord. So yes, we should rest, but it seems like, you know, we're falling into the idea, we're losing what most generations of Christians have known before, which is that laziness is a sin. And have you ever heard a sermon against laziness? My whole life, I've never heard a sermon against laziness. But you read in the Bible, there are strong statements against laziness.
Yeah.
Well, if the pulpit doesn't preach that part, the church won't get it, and the church won't get it, the world won't get it, and we'll continue to have these economic problems, which no amount of tax cuts can change.
WNG.org, just look for Jerry's column, and he wrote on, you'll see it there, we need more sermons against laziness. And you could read Jerry's thoughts there. Jerry, we didn't get to the economy, but just quickly in the next 15 seconds, it's kind of same song, second verse, right, in terms of why we're seeing this market go up.
Yeah, the switching conflicting mandates. This week was inflation's low, so we're going to goose the economy with more money to speed it up. So as it switches mandates back and forth, this week was dove mode, and that drove markets up.
And here we are with right at Dow 40,000. Who'd have thought? All right, Jerry, we appreciate
you. Easy money.
Yeah, easy money. Exactly right. We appreciate your comments, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer. Check out his great work at WNG.com. That's the World News Group. He's active on social media as well and doing some amazing work with the American Family Association. That's going to do it for us. Gloria, Tracy, let's try to get you on next week. And on behalf of my team today, Devin, Jim, and Robert, I'm Rob West. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.